You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we return here. It is Purple Friday, the first playoff Purple Friday for the Ravens here this season. The Ravens taking on the Tennessee Titans in Nashville on Sunday, and we have a packed slate with tons lined up today. In this first segment, we're going to be talking with Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles for a bit of a Ravens preview, and then we'll have our usual Friday guest in Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire on for the final two segments to preview the Ravens' upcoming matchup with the Titans, talking about the Ravens' offense in the second segment and the defense and final score predictions in the final segment. So let's jump right in. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast where they're waiting Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, historical perspectives, and anything else relating to the Baltimore Ravens. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here with Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles.
Now we kind of look forward to the weekend. You know, it's Ravens and Titans again. It's a little different this year. You know, obviously the two teams matched up last year. The Ravens had put together the best regular season in team history. They were 14-2. They were the number one seed coming off of a bye in the first round. The upstart Titans had just upset the Patriots. And, you know, the Ravens were right around 10-point favorites in that game last year. And Tennessee came in and took it to them, 28-12 win. You know, it's the same two teams mostly when you look at the rosters, but obviously, you know, different storylines. This year, Tennessee, a division winner. The Ravens had to get in a wild card. So I just kind of wanted to start with this. For you, how much different does the matchup feel this year, despite it being the same two teams who look, you know, each pretty similar, at least roster-wise?
Yeah, Connor, this matchup is something where the rosters didn't undergo a ton of turnover on either side. Tennessee lost a couple of key defensive players and players like Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan. But when you look at it, the Ravens and Titans have matched up three times in the last calendar year. It was the playoffs. They played a little bit earlier this season. And both those times, Tennessee did get the better of Baltimore. In the second time around, I'll kind of focus more on the 2020 matchup because, one, the playoff matchup still hurts my heart. And two, just the overall rosters, they're similar to what happened in 2020, week 10, week 11. For the Ravens, they were up in this game. They went up big by two scores, I think. It was 14 points. Then Tennessee comes storming back in the fourth quarter. And the narrative all year for Baltimore, really ever since Lamar Jackson took the helm, is when the Ravens get up big, they are almost impossible to stop because they chew clock, they run the ball effectively, they're able to work their pass game in. And despite that, the Ravens offense couldn't score points. The Ravens defense couldn't stop giving up points. And that all just combined made it so the Ravens ended up losing in overtime. Once you get into overtime with Derrick Henry, it's just game over. You can't tackle that mammoth of a man. So Baltimore's had issues this season consistently tackling. Their defense has had issues consistently playing football for 60 minutes at a high level. So for the Ravens, I think the key here in this game, and you look back to the playoffs, when you look back to the 2020 matchup earlier in the year, it's finish. Get off to an early start. The Ravens in the playoff game, I'll talk about that a little bit. First possession, the Ravens are driving down the field. Lamar Jackson throws a pass to Mark Andrews on the left side of the field. Mark Andrews is injured. He pretty much has hobbled the entire game. Can't get up for the pass. It's an interception for Tennessee. Tennessee runs it back. Lamar Jackson, I think it was a face mask or a horse collar, and that adds on 15 yards. The momentum shifts from the Ravens all the way to Tennessee, and Baltimore was never able to get the ball back. So for the Ravens, setting that early tone, finishing plays, tackling well, they're all key points in this game. So when you look at the Ravens in their playoff matchup last year, in the game this year, in 2020, a little bit earlier, the Ravens, they could have pulled both off. It was just a matter of a couple of things not going their way, and that's really every game and every sport. But in this one, maybe the ball bounces Baltimore's way this time, along with some good play.
Yeah, we know how each team is built. The Ravens just rushed for 400 yards to get themselves into the postseason, a franchise record in the blowout win over Cincinnati in Week 17. And the Titans have the best running back in football right now in Derrick Henry. He is a monster. And, you know, it feels like, now obviously the Ravens had a double-digit lead, as you said, in the regular season matchup this year, and the Titans came back to win. But the way both these teams are playing right now, it does seem like if anybody gets out to, I don't know if I want to say double digit, but if anybody can get out to a 2-touchdown lead at any point in this game, it just feels like the way the offenses are built, that might be it, just because of how well both of these teams can run the ball and chew clock off.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you, Connor. It's something where I actually said that was one of the keys to the game in the earlier matchup, and then the Ravens did it and still lost, so it's never a guarantee. But the Ravens and the Titans, you mentioned, they're both very similarly built. The Ravens have just been a historic rushing franchise ever since Lamar Jackson entered the realm. And for the Titans, Derrick Henry is just, I don't even have enough words to describe how much of a beast he is. So for the Ravens, for the Titans, the identities of both of these offenses is to chew clock, keep the opposing defense on the field, make sure that they're tired throughout the game. So when you get to the fourth quarter, in Tennessee's point of view, against a team like the Ravens, where their defensive linemen are starting to get tired and they're not wanting to tackle anymore, that's when the Titans kill you and ultimately seal the game. For the Ravens, on the opposite side, it's pretty much the same thing. You can bring in a sledgehammer in Gus Edwards. You can bring in somebody like J.K. Dobbins, who has deceptive speed and elite balance. Mark Ingram, if he's active, and who knows if that's a given anymore. But if he's in there, he can provide you with a change of pace. The Ravens' offense is built to sustain leads. It's built to hold leads that they get out too early. But in the offseason, the Ravens went out and acquired Calais Campbell. And for the Titans game earlier this season, he wasn't even there. He was injured with that calf injury. Brandon Williams, who has a profound impact on this Ravens defense when he's out there, and when he's not out there, you can notice it, kind of like Jimmy Smith does. He wasn't out there either. So the Ravens missing their top two run defenders against the Tennessee Titans earlier this season. They get those guys back right now. So hopefully that provides them with a boost. But you mentioned it, Connor. The Ravens offense, the Titans offenses are both built to kill when they get big leads.
Now, I got to say one more thing I wanted to ask you is, I think it's on the minds of a lot of Ravens fans. You know, they rattled off this 5-game winning streak. And, you know, the Cleveland win obviously turned the season around for the Ravens on Monday Night Football. But when you look at the schedule, the next four teams they played, it really wasn't too difficult, you know, to get, you know, really the final three wins of this streak down the stretch. And the Cleveland win was not a way you expect the Ravens to win games, a 47-42 game. So, you know, what do you feel like is kind of the level of concern that, you know, yes, the Ravens are on this winning streak and playing well, but they haven't seen anybody who can really stop the run, and they really haven't, you know, seen a good offense. And when they did in Cleveland, you know, they burned them for 42 points.
Yeah, it's a good point, Connor. And with the NFL, this is really an every week league. So there is a point to be made about, yeah, the Ravens, they play Jacksonville and the Giants and the Bengals. Those are three teams who the talent level will never be there in the playoffs. That's just not what goes on there. There are going to be good teams like the Titans who you have to face every week. For the Ravens earlier in the season, I'll look at run defense first. The Ravens are one of the best run-stopping units in the NFL with pretty much any team they faced. It didn't matter who. Outside of the Kansas City game was really the one horrible, terrible loss Baltimore took all season. Outside of that game, before Calais Campbell goes down against the Colts, the Ravens were stopping everyone and anyone, for the most part, in the ground game. So with the Ravens getting healthy on defense, the Ravens have been decimated by injuries, by COVID. There was a subpar play. So for the Ravens to go out there and pretty much dominate three opponents at the back half of their schedule who they were supposed to dominate, I mean, that's a good sign. You never want to be a team like the Browns or somebody like that who goes in, faces the Jets, and ultimately loses because either they overlooked them, they didn't take them seriously, or the Browns just did not have the talent level. So with the Ravens and with their schedule, there is some concern about, okay, they haven't faced a quote-unquote good team in a few weeks. But at the same time, Connor, the playoffs, I believe, it's just a whole new season. We saw the Ravens 14-2 last year, have the bye week. They come out against Tennessee and just absolutely put on a terrible performance. So for the Ravens, now we're getting into the competition part. If they beat Tennessee, it's likely they're playing Buffalo in the second round, and that team is just eons above what the Cincinnati Bengals are this season. So it's going to be an uptick in talent every single week. But in terms of my concern level, sure, it's in the back of my mind. But Connor, I think with the playoffs, with the way that the NFL is an every week league, I don't see it as too much of a concern. I just think Baltimore has to go out there, play good football. Don't overlook the Titans. The Titans defense has been atrocious this year, but they always seem to have the Ravens number in a way. So for the Ravens, they just have to go out there and play good football.
Yeah, we know the Ravens have had success in Tennessee in the postseason. I saw you tweeted out the anniversary from the football season, or from the Super Bowl season in 2000 with Ray Lewis and the big pick six in Tennessee. And then, of course, Joe Flacco's rookie year, the Titans were the number one overall seed, and the Ravens went in there and won in the divisional round. But, you know, the way I see it, we kind of talked about it before we started recording, how, you know, my nervous level is basically, you know, around that. The aura around Lamar Jackson, if the Ravens lose this game as well, is that he can't win in the playoffs. And, you know, it's going to start to stick a little bit, because when you do get there 3 years in a row and, you know, you're potentially the favorite in all three games and he can't get it done, that's going to start to come up for Lamar. But, you know, my thought is, first year was the rookie year for Lamar, you know, not too many expectations in the postseason. Last year, maybe, you know, they looked down upon the Titans a little bit and they were the number one seed. This year they get to go on the road. This Ravens team plays really, really well away from home. For some reason, I feel a little bit better about this game. So, Kevin, before I let you go, I got to get a score prediction from you for Sunday's game at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, this game for me, Connor, I think it's going to be a high-scoring one. Just the way that the Titans' defense is playing, this is a big matchup for the Ravens' offense to go out there and prove that, look, Tennessee doesn't have our number. Sure, we lost the last two games, and one of them was a pretty big one. But the Ravens have a chance at revenge for the losses they've taken recently. Now with their third matchup in a calendar year, this is the time for the Ravens to shine, especially their offense. And the way the Ravens are playing right now, they got hot at exactly the right time. And there were a lot of questions last year about the Ravens and John Harbaugh's decision to sit the starters in week 17 and, you know, how that would affect the team in terms of momentum. And apparently it affected them in a negative way. So now with the Ravens playing pretty much with no hiccup in their schedule at all, with the Ravens offense humming, with the Titans defense not being great at the moment, I do think that the Ravens go out there and put out a ton of points, but at the same time, Tennessee's offense is no slouch. And I think that at the end of the day, you have to look at Tennessee's offense as a serious threat. Ryan Tannehill is severely underrated. A.J. Brown is a beast. Corey Davis is underrated as well. And Derrick Henry, we've talked about him for almost this entire segment. So for the Ravens, I do think they win this game. I just think they're playing good football right now. And that is the key. Which team has the momentum? And that team right now is Baltimore. Tennessee almost lost to Houston, if not for that, you know, prayer of a throw Tannehill threw to A.J. Brown at the end of that Texans game in week 17. So I'm going to go with Ravens 38, Titans 35.
I like that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, even though the Titans did look very iffy against what is honestly Deshaun Watson and not a good roster after that with the Texans, this is still going to be a close game because the Titans, you know, are going to be there for it. And these two teams, you know, it was an older rivalry, you know, 15, 20 years ago. It's starting to look like it's turning into that again. I'm going to say this game comes down to the foot of Justin Tucker and a 34-31 Ravens victory to get that first playoff win for Lamar and get into the divisional round.
It was great to do a little Baltimore crossover with Connor, and as the Orioles get closer to their regular season, hopefully we'll get back together and do a preview for them. We're going to head into our first break now, and when we return, we'll be talking with Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating, questioning, and wait while their counterman orders the parts in his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in there, how'd you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we return here with our second segment of this Locked On Ravens episode. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still here with you. And now we're going to get into another part of this podcast, which is with our usual Friday guest and someone I'm proud to work alongside at Ravens Wire. That is Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire. Matthew, the Ravens head into a pivotal wildcard matchup with the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's exciting to talk about some football and get some Ravens football. And hopefully by Monday morning, we don't have to hear any of that, Well, he hasn't won a playoff game yet. He can't win big games. So let's get this over with, man.
Yeah, no. If that's the scenario and Baltimore does lose, I know that narrative will be thrown out there that Lamar Jackson is 0-3 in the playoffs. The Ravens can't win in clutch games. I mean, Marlon Humphrey, after the Titans lost last season, literally almost word for word said the Ravens' identity right now is to choke in the playoffs. Literally, those are the words that came out of his mouth. So hopefully the Ravens can get revenge on the Titans for the last two games that the Ravens have played against Tennessee. And this is the third meeting between these two teams in the last calendar year. But Matthew, let's start off with Lamar Jackson. And I kind of want to point to the game earlier in the 2020 season. Baltimore loses 30-24 in overtime. Lamar Jackson goes 17 of 29, 186 yards, one touchdown and one interception. Obviously, if you go back to that playoff matchup last season, Lamar Jackson throws 59 times. If you're Lamar Jackson, Matthew, what do you want to do to, one, set a tone early, but two, keep that tone throughout the entire game?
Well, I think, you know, what we've seen out of Lamar the last few games is just play efficient, smart football. You don't have to bomb it down the field 60 yards if that isn't open. You don't have to throw the three-yard pass if it's not open. Look for what the defense is giving you and take advantage of it. And I know a lot of people tend to bash Lamar, just like they do with a few quarterbacks around this league, for taking what a defense gives you. That's how you win championships in this league. Not every quarterback's going to be Patrick Mahomes. Not every quarterback's going to be Aaron Rodgers in his prime. Not every quarterback's going to be Peyton Manning. You just by taking what the defense gives you, not making any big mistakes, and marching down the field, letting your guys do what they do, you're going to put points on the board. And as we've seen over the last 5 weeks, especially with this offense, you're really starting to see this whole thing hum. And it's because Lamar's playing smarter, efficient football. The stuff that we talked about in the offseason we wanted to see him do, he's finally getting it now in his, you know, the end of the third season. Just continue doing that. Don't let the Titans scare you into getting out of your game plan.
Yeah, I know that's a big topic for a lot of people this week, Matthew, and it's been a big topic of discussion ever since that playoff game last season, where I think a lot of people put the blame on Greg Roman, and it seems like the Titans in the playoff game last year, the Ravens did get away from their identity. So going into a new playoff matchup with Baltimore just under a year later, that is a topic that has come up a lot, and that's where I want to go next, because Tennessee and Baltimore are two teams who definitely can get out to early leads and thus force their opponent to potentially move away from their game plan. In Baltimore, they are such a successful running team, and their pass game works off of that. So, Matthew, in this game, obviously it's a big thing to whoever gets out to the first early lead, even a two-possession lead. That's a big advantage in a game like this. So, talking about Greg Roman, talking about the game plan, what's your game plan? One, if you're up big, but two, what if you're down big?
Well, man, I think you got to go with this run game. Regardless of the situation, we've seen it now the last 3 weeks. This rushing attack is something special, and you know, I've gotten some people coming back at me going like, well, it was you know, Jacksonville, you know, it was the Giants, it was Cincinnati. Anytime you hang 400 rushing yards on a team, I don't care what that team is. I don't care who that team is. They can be the worst team in football. Anytime you put up over 200 rushing yards on a team, much less 400 rushing yards on a team, that's impressive. Over the last, I believe, three games, Baltimore's averaged 267 rushing yards. Now, again, keep in mind that the New York Giants were, at the time, going into that game, the sixth-rated run defense. I think if you just keep sticking with that, your guys have shown an ability to bust off big runs, become, you know, game changers in their own right. More importantly, this offensive line, and we've seen it all season long, we saw it certainly last season, when you get them out, especially early, tell them to go attack the guy that's in front of them, and as I say repeatedly, buy the man a hot dog in these stands. If you do that every single play, those offensive linemen are pumped for the times when they need to go ahead and do pass protection. They're more eager to get involved. They're in a rhythm. They've got their energy up. More importantly, you've now shown that defensive line that we're going to push you all over this field when we want to push you all over this field. That stuff matters. And if you look at the last two Titans games especially, Baltimore had that dictated to them, and they folded under those situations. If Baltimore can get out there early and put them guys on skates, you best believe they're going to be able to get out to an early lead. And then once you've done that to a team that's really physical, it tends to be really, really demoralizing. And you see teams implode from it. So I think that's the thing you got to do early. And even if you're down, do not move away from that run game. We saw it in the last playoff game against Tennessee where, you know, you start being down by a little bit and all of a sudden the run just disappears. We've seen it at times this season where you're down by a little bit and the run just disappears and you're asking Lamar Jackson to do things that he's not great at doing. Not that he can't do it, but he's not great at doing it. And that's where you get into trouble. That's where you start getting interceptions and you can put yourself into a deeper hole even faster. So, you know, it doesn't need to be a shootout. Run the football. Use your, the best players on the field in the way that they should be used. That has been something I know that a lot of fans have gotten on Greg Roman over. He's gotten better in the second half of the season at that, especially. Let's see if it continues into the playoffs. Just use the guys that use the best players on the field the way that they like to be used, the way they need to be used.
Exactly. The Ravens going on their 5-game winning streak earlier in the season, you know, they got hot at just the right time, and they did it using their running game. They got out to early leads. They were able to hold the football and take it away from the opposing offense. Stuff like that, yes, the playoffs, the competition is up to a pretty large degree. You're playing better. You're not playing a team like, you know, you're not playing a team like a Jacksonville or a Giants team or the Cincinnati Bengals, but regardless, the NFL, there is NFL talent, obviously, on every single team. And if the Ravens keep doing what they've been doing on offense to hope to get out to that early lead, set that tone early. I keep going back to the first possession of the playoff game last season where a hobbled Mark Andrews can't get up high enough to catch a Lamar Jackson pass. It's intercepted by the Titans. Lamar Jackson, I still can't remember if it was a face mask or a horse collar, but Lamar Jackson adds on 15 with a personal foul. The momentum just shifts from Baltimore to Tennessee in an instant, and they never got it back. So for the Ravens, they definitely have to get out to that early lead, I think, and also keep the momentum throughout the course of the game. And part of that is just using their run game, how they've been doing it throughout these last 5 weeks. But Matthew, speaking of the run game, the offensive line is a huge, huge part of how the Ravens' offense has gotten going recently. They've finally found their combination, but there is a chance that one of the pieces of that offensive line might not suit up on Sunday, and that is DJ Fluker, someone who has been inconsistent but has really stepped up his play in recent weeks. The Ravens have been going with a right tackle combination of Fluker and rookie Tyree Phillips, and they've been rotating them in and out of the lineup within games. So, Matthew, if DJ Fluker does miss this game, how confident are you in Tyree Phillips to play a full 60 minutes in this one?
Without sounding mean to either Fluker or Phillips, neither one of them have played great football this season. Fluker's had his moments where he's played well, but he's also been bullied around the offensive line a few times in multiple games now. So there's a reason why there's a rotation there to begin with. So I don't think it necessarily changes things too much, if we're being honest. But I that's definitely not the strength of this offensive line, is that right tackle right now. Between Fluker and Phillips. If Phillips has to go, my guess is you're going to see, you know, more tight ends being kept on the line just to help out. You allow him to go ahead and maybe get a quick hit, a chip on a guy, on a pass rusher by Jackson, just a half second more. You ask Phillips, look, just be more physical, drive your guy on run plays. We'll help you out on the pass. Let him kind of take the attack to the defender rather than getting beat around the edge. Those things I think you can do to help minimize where Phillips is going to struggle. And then really you stay away from his side, which is something that Baltimore has done now for the last 5 weeks, pretty continuously of going like, all right, well, we're just not going to let you screw up. Again, not ideal. I think anyone at right tackle right now is not going to be ideal with this offensive line having had so many injuries and having to shift guys around. But the last 5 weeks, they've managed to really kind of work it out through pulls and stuff like that to get guys one-on-one and get guys into the second level so that way we can make blocks downfield and you see big plays come off of that. So to answer your question, Kevin, not terribly confident, but it's worked for him thus far. So confident enough.
Yeah. Hey, if it's not broke, don't fix it. That's it's something that's been working out for Baltimore. Obviously you would like to see Orlando Brown back on that right side and Ronnie Stanley back in healthy, but the Ravens are not working with that right now. Every team has been pretty hardly hit by injuries this season. The Ravens, one of the more injured teams, and they've felt it definitely, but they are making do with what they have. And against Tennessee, it'll be ever so important that those guys who might not necessarily be playing good football this season step up in a big way. But we're going to head into our final break now, and when we return, we'll be flipping the field, talking about the defense for Baltimore and final score predictions. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. The NFL regular season is finished and the playoff picture is clear. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Purple Friday Playoff Edition episode. Your host, Kevin Allstriker, still here with Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire. And Matthew, the Ravens' top priority will be to stop Derrick Henry and this Tennessee offense. But doing that, they have to stop Ryan Tannehill as well, someone who I believe is severely underrated. He's one of the best play-action quarterbacks in the entire NFL, but also has a lot more to his game than that. So, Matthew, how do you think Don Martindale and this Baltimore defense is going to try to stop and neutralize him?
Well, I think the one thing that needs to be said is that he's phenomenal under pressure. And you really have to hand that to Tannehill throughout his career, both at Miami and now here in Tennessee. He's able to throw efficiently. He's able to make smart decisions. He's able to make smart reads. And he's relatively accurate when under pressure. So simply getting pressure on Tannehill is not the way to go ahead and beat Tannehill. It's consistent pressure. It's making sure you're in his face every single play. It's making sure that he doesn't get out and run. And while you think of Tannehill, you don't necessarily think of Lamar Jackson. The guy's got, six rushing touchdowns this year. He's certainly got some legs on him, so you can't let him get out of the pocket either. You can't let him go ahead and take those runs 10, 11, 15 yards that he has in the last two games that you've played against him. So it's small things like that, but it's just making sure you're in his face, making sure you're getting contained, and more importantly, making sure you're doing all of that with four guys. If you need to start taking safeties out in order to blitz, if you need to start blitzing inside linebackers, if you need to do, zone blitzes with your cornerbacks, all of a sudden that leaves guys on islands. All of a sudden that leaves guys needing tighter windows. And that's where Tannehill is going to go ahead and beat you. So I think the overall game plan, get your hands on wide receivers. Do not let them get off the line free. Do not let them get off the line clean. And force Tannehill to make quick reads and tight window throws. If you do that, he's going to screw up at some point. He's going to make some good plays. They're going to march down the field. Look, it's just going to happen occasionally. But where Baltimore's defense has been really, really good this season is, look, it's going to take you 15 plays to get into the end zone. We're chancing that one of them, we're going to come up with a big play, a fumble recovery, an interception, a sack, something in which either A, gets us off the field, or B, gets our offense great field position with a turnover. So if you do that, if you force him to throw into those tight windows, if you force him to make quick reads, and if you take out Derrick Henry so that way it's all on Tannehill's shoulders, that's when you start getting interceptions. That's where you start getting fumbles. That's where you start getting, you're getting off the field on third downs, and your offense can go ahead and build up that lead and put the pressure back again on Tannehill to turn this into a shootout that honestly he can't win.
Yeah, that's the key. And part of that is Tennessee's defense has not been great this season. So if the Ravens can stifle Tennessee's offense, can stifle Tannehill and let them occasionally drive down the field, Matthew, I agree. I think that's the best key here, because if it does get into shootout territory, I take Baltimore's defense over Tennessee's defense and would rely on Baltimore to get that crucial stop over Tennessee. But Matthew, Derrick Henry is the key here in this one, definitely. The Titans averaged 5.1 yards per carry in their last matchup earlier in 2020. But a big part of that, I think, was that the Ravens did not have both Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams in this game. And Calais Campbell, it could be argued, was acquired for a game exactly like Tennessee. So now with Williams and Campbell both being healthy, with Jimmy Smith reportedly coming back, Yannick Ngakoue reportedly coming back, Marcus Peters being back healthy, the Ravens defense, Matthew, it's just getting healthy. And with the Ravens in the first matchup between these two teams this year, the Ravens did a decently good job of stopping Derrick Henry. It was just the fourth quarter in overtime, which he just killed them. So, Matthew, with the Ravens defense getting healthy, and especially with Campbell and Williams returning, how big of an important key is that for this game?
Oh, I think it's massive. I mean, I know fans have gotten on Brandon Williams the last few years, and there's some fair critiques there about Brandon Williams and the pay rate that the Ravens have given him for the production he gives. But there's one thing you cannot deny. Brandon Williams is dominant against the run. He is the reason why the Ravens are so good against the run. Not the sole reason, but he's a big part of it, man. And whenever he's out of this lineup is when you see running backs go off for big yards. It happens sometimes when he's in there, but you can almost always guarantee that if Brandon Williams is sitting out a game, the rushing attack is going to go ahead and bust off big runs. They're going to go over 100 yards on the day. They're going to have some success on the ground. So having him back alone, huge. And as you mentioned, you know, you brought in Calais Campbell for this game. They can look, the Ravens could say it was for whatever reason. You don't go out and go get a Pro Bowl player. You don't trade for a guy like that unless he solves a very specific problem. And no offense to Campbell, but in Baltimore's scheme, he's not really a great pass rusher. He's really there for the run stuffing. He offers some inside penetration as well, but his primary goal is to stuff the run. And that's where they're using him. Combine that with Derek Wolfe, who has been, again, also phenomenal against the run this year. Deserving of a contract extension with Baltimore. Hopefully they go ahead and pull the trigger on that. But those three guys are massive. And you talked about Derrick Henry in that last game. Let's go over the stats real quick, because I broke it down quarter by quarter. First quarter, 7 runs, 21 yards. That's a 3 yard per carry average. Second quarter, 6 rushing attempts, 12 yards, a 2 yard per carry average. Let's look at the third quarter, 4 runs, 7 yards. Less than a 2 yard per carry average. Even the fourth quarter, you take away that 24 yard run to open the fourth quarter, by the way, it's awful. But you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 runs, 52 yards. Granted, 7 yard, 7.5 yard per carry average. You take out that 24 yard run, which hopefully you'd be able to do with Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell in there. You're looking at like a 4.5 yard per carry average there. Again, not great. That's not terrible, but it's not great either. It's not Derrick Henry great when you're talking about going up against a tough defense like this. So it's really that 24-yard run and then a 29-yard run to cap it off in overtime that got Derrick Henry like half of his yards. So you take those two runs away, all of a sudden you're holding Derrick Henry to like 3 yards a carry for almost all of the game. That's a winning strategy, which is why, despite playing without so many players in that game, despite the offense being not great in that first half of the season, you took them to overtime. It wasn't until overtime when their defense was gassed because you're missing 2 starters on a defensive line that has like 6 people on it. That's the answer. Derrick Henry should get stopped with the way that Baltimore played in week 11. You add those two guys back in. You add Calais Campbell. You add Brandon Williams back in. We should see those big runs disappear. And all of a sudden, you've held Derrick Henry to well below 100 yards. And that's putting everything on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders. And we all remember how he looked in Miami.
Right. The Ravens, they did a pretty good job of holding Derrick Henry in that game. And really, I think I look to a guy like a Marcus Peters, who in the playoff game last season had probably the best game of any Ravens defender, but then in this game in 2020 earlier in the season was absolutely torched, and this was probably his worst game as a Raven. It was that game against Tennessee. So the Ravens, if they can hold Derrick Henry, they'll have a great shot to win this game, but they have to finish in other areas of the defensive game plan as well, because like we saw earlier in the year, the Titans have other ways to beat you besides the 2,000-yard rushing monster. But Matthew, looking at final score predictions here, the Ravens are certainly probably one of the hottest teams in the NFL, or at least they were, because the playoffs, it's a whole new season, as we saw pretty unfortunately in 2019. How do you see this one going for Baltimore?
All right, I'm making this one bold. I'm putting it out on the line. The limb's creaking. I'm saying Baltimore Ravens 35, Tennessee Titans 12. I think they stop Derrick Henry in his tracks. They force Ryan Tannehill to run all over the place. They harass him all game long. And you got Marcus Peters back healthy. He's going to pick six one of these passes for sure. If not him, it's going to be Anthony Averett. If not him, it's going to be Marlon Humphrey punching the football out, somebody taking it up, and running the rest of the way to the house. Baltimore dominates this game, much like we've seen them do in their playoff runs en route to a Super Bowl. I think this is the first game where Baltimore suddenly turns it on to a different degree, and you see them go ahead and dominate Tennessee before going ahead and dominating two other teams and bringing home that third Super Bowl trophy. Big money this time.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. That is the enthusiasm. That is the positivity that the Ravens need. And look, I'm probably not going to go that bold just because, I don't know, I went 15-1 for the Ravens record earlier in the season, and that just, oh, man, it bit me. But I do think the Ravens pulled this one out. They are playing great football, or they were over the last five games. They found their identity on offense. Their defense is getting healthy. All the pieces are kind of there for Baltimore right now, whereas you look to a 2019 season, that team was great. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But the team, resting the starters, that's still a very controversial decision that John Harbaugh made, then the bye week after that, and then you face that hot Tennessee team. Now I think the roles are reversed a little bit. Now the Titans didn't have a bye week, they didn't rest their starters, but the Ravens are the team that are, you know, scalding hot right now. When the Titans almost lost to the Texans in Week 17, and that game really was because A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill made a miracle play happen. So I'm going to go with Ravens 38, Titans 35. I think it's a very close game. But just because it's close doesn't mean the Ravens don't win it. If the Ravens win by 1 point, if the Ravens win by 20 points, a win is a win, and in the playoffs, you need to go 1-0 every week for 4 weeks if you're Baltimore. And this is the first step to doing that. So I agree, Matthew. I think Baltimore does win this game. But that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And hopefully, when we get back here next week on our next Purple Friday, we'll be talking about a divisional round matchup, and the Ravens will have handled their business in Tennessee.
Absolutely, man. Let's go to the Super Bowl. Let's do it. This is the year. 2021 is starting off right with a Ravens victory.
I love it. Ravens, they have all the pieces. They've gone through their adversity, and they are in the playoffs, which was their goal. Now, as Calais Campbell said, they earned the right to be in the playoffs. Now they have to earn the right to win the Super Bowl. But that's all that we have for you today here on Locked On Ravens. When we get back on Monday, we'll be diving into everything that happened in the Ravens wildcard matchup against the Tennessee Titans. So stay tuned for that. And I will see you on Monday.